Well, this morning is focused on the leadership of the church and service to the church in general. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we'll have some different awards that we're doing just for fun and recognition. And then we're going to have a conversation with our board. Our board meets annually to determine what we call strategic goals for the year. And did that last year. We've done that this year. We really want to communicate those goals to you as a congregation so you understand what's ahead of us, what our board is striving for, and how you can be a part of helping us meet those goals. I've got a 1 minute, 3 minute, or 10 minute sermon prepared. Based upon how long it takes us to get through those things. So we shall see. So that's going to be our morning. So the first thing we're going to do that we haven't done in a while, somebody actually brought this up to me when I first kind of came here. I had started what was called the Champion Award. And the Champion Award was where I looked for someone who was leading within the church and just kind of taking ownership over something. And presented them an award, and I said why I had selected them for the award and what the values, because, you know, when we do things out of our values, and so what were the values that I saw represented in their actions. And then I always challenge the Champion Award winners to select someone else that they see leading within the church and championing something, those values. And so our last champions many months ago was Dan and Dana Schott. And so I'll invite Dan and Dana to come up here. And I've asked Dan and Dana to select individual or several individuals who will next receive the Champion Award. So which of you would like the mic that your son is controlling, for better, for worse.
All right. In the time that we've had this, which is a very, very long time, because we had forgotten about it for a while, we had this couple in our mind for most of the time that we even had it, and we'd even say, hey, we need to do this, and then we'd forget. And then we'd say, hey, we need to do this, and then we'd forget again. And like I said, we picked a couple who volunteer a lot, not just in the church, but also at school. And just doing one of them just doesn't make much sense, so we decided it'd be best to just do them together. So if I can have TJ and Bronwyn Anizeski come up here, please. And
yeah, you all in the back row.
Yeah, yeah.
You all in the back of the church, please come forward.
And this is part of the reason they get chosen, because they do a lot, but they like to hide and not just be out there.
Draw a lot of attention to themselves.
And Bronwyn right now is like thinking negative things about me. There you go. So starting with Bronwyn, former church treasurer, she volunteers all over the place. She volunteers in the kitchen. She volunteers with the youth. She jumps into our cantata once a year and then disappears again.
When she's most needed.
And one of the jokes one year was she was sitting behind me in a cantata, and I was like, I'm like blocking people, and she's like, good. And she likes hiding behind me sometimes. So that's one of the reasons for her. It's like she will volunteer as long as you don't see her. But she volunteers like crazy. And then with TJ, TJ's my partner in crime. We've done a lot of youth mission trips together. He also volunteers at all the things. He's up with the youth every single Sunday. He works with Emerge every single, you know, every time there's an Emerge youth, that's him there, being there for that part. Once again, just being there, but most people not seeing him there. So all of our youth trips together and everything, and I'm sure there'll be another one in the future, and that's why we decided that we'd pick them And also, TJ came and fixed my son's car when I wasn't at the house yesterday. So it was nice, you know. So this is why we chose the Anzuskis.
As I think about the values that they kind of epitomize, you would have to put kind of humility at the top of it. So humble. And service to community and others. So any others that you...
Faithfulness.
Yes, steadfast faithfulness. Enduring suffering is another term. Okay. Well, fantastic. Thank you all. They've passed the champion award on to you, and so in due time, you'll have to decide who will carry the crown. That's right. All right, thank you all so much. Congratulations. Well, I want to do just a few other rewards. So, awards, it's so hard because we've got so many people here that do so many wonderful things all the time. And so I kind of chose to target some folks who have served in some things over the last year, kind of in primary leadership type stuff, and they're coming out of that. And so some of these folks may be here with us today, some of them may not, as I did not give them any kind of warning that this was going to happen. And so, 5 folks here. So first, I'd like to recognize an individual who has led our care team for years and years and years, has done a remarkable job making sure that people in our church get cards and letters when they're not well, when they've lost dear ones, when they're going through something challenging. And I would say the care team is one of the unique things about this church that I've never seen that in any church that I've been at, is that we literally have a care team that focuses on supporting, loving, and caring for others. And so I have named this award the Caring for the Flock Award, and it goes to Jenny Bounds for all her help. Thank you, Jenny. How many years did you serve in that role?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Many, many years. And she just recently turned that over to Don Rickman.
Yep.
And so we thank you for all your years of service there. You're welcome. This next award, it's interesting. We went to the one board model, I think 3 years ago, and there's the big change in the one board model that you can do that you couldn't do with the council model, is that you can put everything on the board chair. And what I mean is this: your board chairperson can also effectively be your staff parish relations committee chair, your trustee chair, and your I don't think your finance chair, but you can put those other two things on them. And so last year, as I'd come in new and I didn't know people all that well, and I was meeting people and talking with people, I asked an individual to be our council chair, but then said, by the way, I want you to do everything else too. So if you don't mind doing all the other roles, that would be great. And so I have named this the Atlas Award, right? Because when the demigod that held the world up, like, that's what I would tell him every time I saw him was, hey, I know I've put the weight of the world on your shoulders, but is Russ Phelps in here somewhere? Where's Russ? There he is. Russ, thank you for carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders for 2022.
Thank you.
And we've demoted him to just chair the trustees now. So, yeah. Yeah, but thank you so much. This next award is someone who has looked out after our church for several years now, and before COVID, years before that. And he will come in. He had come into the church early and made sure it was unlocked and swept and safe. We've at times when you come into a Sunday school room, we actually had an individual sleeping in one of our closets once that had came off the street. And so it fills us with some confidence to know that somebody's kind of checking those things out and looking into those things. And so he has really been, the security effort of our church. And so I'm calling this the Church Guardian Award. The Church Guardian Award, as he has gone into retirement now, but we are thankful for all his years of service. Bill Ursary, is Bill in here this morning? Yes. Guardian and protector of the church. Thank you, Bill. You're welcome. Thank you. There you go, sir. Thank you. We appreciate it. And then last, once again, like when we take communion together, we do that once a month. Somebody prepares the communion. Somebody comes in, and since we've gone to COVID, we went to kind of chopping up the bread and having it in pieces instead of eating from one loaf. And so they come in and they do that, and they prepare the juice and make sure they're all in individual cups, and they make sure to set it out, and then they make sure to pick it all up. And so I have named this the Servants of the Bread and Cup Award. And the Servants of the Bread and Cup Award go to Chuck and Becky Crystal. Are the Crystals here this morning? They aren't. We can still give them a hand because maybe they'll watch it online. So thank you to Chuck and Becky. I know that they have come off of that role this year. In order to support family, and so we appreciate them doing that in the last year. So, once again, those are just some awards to people who were serving in some service roles to the entire church through what they've been doing. We just wanted to recognize them, and I know that many of you serve on the care team or help with worship or help in so many other ways, so thank you for the ways that you care for us, care for one another. Now, speaking of those folks, I'm now kind of moving into talking about our accountable leadership board, our board members. And so what I would like to do is we're gonna kind of recognize so you can see who our board members were and are, and we're gonna have some prayer over them. And so first, I'd like to recognize our board members that came off in 2022. And if this is you, there's just going to be one. So the first I want to recognize is Chuck Crystal, who came off in 2022 and isn't with us today. Kathy Huff, I think I saw. Kathy, if you don't mind coming up here, she served in 2022. And then Scott Shoemate, who is no longer with us. He was our treasurer and did a wonderful job in that role, served on the board, and was very helpful. So can we give our individuals who served on 2022 a hand? I'm going to ask you to stay. Yeah, you can stay. So next, we've got some new board members, some folks who are coming on this year. And so our members who are coming on are John Donald and Susan Brackett and Steve Farner. If you guys just mind coming up, you don't have to say anything, just come up and hang out up here. Susan Brackett, I know you're back there. Yeah, there you are. Come on up. Steve Farner isn't with us today. He's prepping for surgery tomorrow, and so we'll keep him in our prayers. If we can give our new board members a hand for we'll invite them to stay here. And now I want to bring up those who have been serving and will be serving. This will be your 2023 board members. So Russ Phelps will be the trustee chair. If Russ wants to come up. Ginger Easter, I think who's gone this week, she told me. Nancy Gravens is our chair this year of the board. Rose Childers, Anna Dreyer, Justin Johnson is our finance chair. Carla Phelps is our United Methodist Women's representative. Paul Chaston is our United Methodist Men's representative. Kelsey Darty is our youth representative. Vanessa Rubel is our lay leader, and she's in Alabama? Yeah. Alabama, Florida, it's all the same. It's a coast, it's hot, you know. So her and Teddy are there for about 5-6 weeks. Did I leave anybody off accidentally? I don't think. Dan has come off. You know, Dan, you could still, I guess we still, yeah, you can still be recognized as having been on the board, coming off the board last year. And so these are our current members of the board. And what I'd like us to do is to pray for these folks, because these folks are determining a lot with the church and the life of the church. We've transitioned the last 2 or 3 years from the council model to the one board model, and that has been full of challenges and new learning. And so I appreciate these folks rising to the occasion. Do we have some people who have served on the board before who are present here? You're a previous board member from 5, 10, 15 years? Yeah, would you all come up and help me pray? If you've been on the board before, if you'd come up and help me pray with these folks. Just kind of drop a hand on somebody. And then I'm going to ask you as a congregation, would you all please stand? And as you stand, if you put a hand out, right, you're sending the blessing forth, right? You're putting the blessing on them. Let's pray for these folks. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for this board. Lord, that churches need strong leadership, and they need people that just desperately love you and want to see you known in their lives and their families and their communities and in the world. And so, Lord, I pray for all the difficult decisions, the difficult work, and just pray that your blessing be upon the members of this board, that they would first and foremost love you in the work that they do, and that they would love the body of Christ, that they would love this church, and that their love for you and for these people would guide them in their work this year in 2023. So, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for an opportunity to serve this congregation. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Can we give them a hand for their work? Thank you so much. Thank you. And some of you can stay up here, right? Some of you are going to have a conversation with me. Yes, I'm going to be on this end if you all want to take this in. Carla, you can come back. Oh, you're coming back? You're just grabbing your notes. You can grab your notes. So what we wanted to do this morning was we wanted to have a conversation, and I'm going to let you two split that mic, give it to you, and you two can split that mic. Yeah, you got it. So we met in December. We met in December, and we determined 5 strategic goals for the coming year that would help us hopefully get closer to our mission and vision. And so they're going to just briefly share about these goals. And then if we have time, you're going to have an opportunity to ask some questions. If you have some questions about these goals, in your bulletin, you also have printed those goals. And at the end of this, if you determine that you're kind of particularly passionate about one of these goals that we have, and that you would want to be a part of helping us achieve that goal, then you're going to fill that insert out. There is a basket at each of the entrances, and you're just going to drop your little survey in that basket, letting us know that you'd like to be a part of the team that works towards that. And so really I've got Nancy. Nancy's our board chair, and so some of these questions are kind of focused to Nancy, and then Nancy's going to default to some of the other folks that are up here for some of the other questions. But Nancy, I'll start by asking, you know, why strategic goals every year? Why does the board sit around, and don't we have kind of plenty to do already as a church? Why Why five more things?
Well, I think in order to really get a lot accomplished, you've got to set some goals and then have benchmarks and some timeline so that you don't just get bogged down with the day-to-day work of the church. So to make real progress that we know a lot of people want in the church, we mm-hmm. feel like we have to have goals to attain that.
And we know that we have challenges. I mean, we all are kind of aware of the different challenges that we have, and sometimes we don't do anything. We got to be careful that we're actually doing things to address the challenges that we have. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is looking into that. Would you say that with the goals that we have, are these five goals, are they just kind of random, or would you say that there's a theme behind the goals that we have?
I feel like a lot of it does have somewhat of a theme. They seem very connected. One leads into the other. And I think all of it is about growing the church and moving forward, staying current, and being very community-minded.
Mm-hmm. Both church and community, mm-hmm. kind of making sure both of those get lifted up. So we'll kind of launch into these five goals, and like I said, just kind of briefly discuss each one. And so the first goal that we have listed there is to develop a new creative model for increasing volunteerism and service within our church. And so, Nancy, what are, you know, when it comes to volunteerism and service to the church, what are sometimes some of the excuses, good excuses, right? What are some of the reasons why people perhaps don't do those things?
Well, church is not the same as it was 20 or 30 years ago, as nothing is in the world. And people really are busy. That's the first thing they say, mm-hmm. and it's true. They are busy. They have family commitments. They have commitments with their kids and school activities. They have work commitments. And so it is, the first instinct is, I'm too busy. And it's valid. So that's one of the reasons it's a goal of ours, to try to figure out how to work around time commitments and still get people invested in helping us to achieve the goals and the work that we know they want done takes volunteers. The events we had last year and the community serving, the community that we used to do on the serve day that everybody really likes and participates in, takes volunteers. So it's a challenge to get that accomplished for sure.
And discipleship kind of calls us to do certain things, to be involved in certain ways, mm-hmm. just as Christ was. And so that's, sometimes it's not just, you know, trying to fulfill different things in the church, but we fulfill certain things in the church because we're disciples of Jesus Christ, trying to live that out in certain ways.
Yeah, I feel sometimes like volunteer could be also called investing, not just volunteering, mm-hmm. but investing yourself and your time. Mm-hmm. And then you get a lot back out of it that way.
What was that saying, where your heart is, so your treasure is also,
right.
I think a
right.
phrase we're familiar with. So what do we hope will be the result of a new model?
Well, you know, that we...
Do we need to define the old model first? What's kind of the old model that
well, I feel like the old model is asking people to sign up, you know, and I just don't feel like that it's been productive enough, you know, and so we're trying to find new ways to figure out what people's talents and skills, gifts are, and that they could use those in a place that they feel comfortable, they feel like they are making a difference, and that they want to participate in those activities. And, you know, we're studying other churches, figuring out some of the ways they go about that. Because it is a different time and a different world. We're trying to be current, figure out how that works so that we can all attain the goals that we want by getting more people invested.
Very good. So that's the first goal. The second goal we have there is to start a new contemporary worship service on Sunday morning. And we had our first meeting last week, and it was well attended, which was great. Nancy, why do we need another worship service?
Well, we know many people in the congregation want that. I mean, we had a response from that last week. And, I mean, to keep up with the times, again, to stay current, I mean, mm-hmm. that is something people want. And we started our children and family ministry last year and got Molly hired, and mm-hmm. that's, she's great, and that's going good. But she needs more families and children to keep that going. That was just the very first step, really, of getting that off the ground. And those young families and kids tend to, youth, all want a contemporary service. And, you know, we're trying to do it the right way, be sure we have enough numbers in the service, not to break it up and make it too small when we add another service. And, you know, we have staff to have to hire. We'll have, again, mm-hmm. volunteers we need. So it's, you know, it's not an overnight thing. It's not going to happen next week. It's going to be some time. But we know people want that. And so as a board, that's kind of our goal and our job.
Community. There are people in our community that don't have a church home. Mm-hmm. And we would like this place to be a church home for them to grow as disciples. So what are we going to need from the folks here in order for a contemporary worship service to be successful here?
Well, I'm trying to think of some of the stuff we talked about last week. I know volunteers for greeters. I mean, the same ushers, same mm-hmm. things it takes this service would, you know, volunteer-wise would be in the contemporary service as well. If they know people that are musically talented and stuff like that, we're going to need that, as well as audio, visual people. So, mm-hmm. you know, it, like I said, it'll take a little time to get all that in place.
And we need people to invite other people, which I think happened this week. Like, I think that was the message last week, and I'm already seeing that happen this week. And
yes.
so we want to see yes. the momentum build
right. yeah,
for those services.
If we have enough numbers for that, then that
yeah.
will help a lot. And that will tie right in with helping get the numbers for the Sunday school classes and the children's church and everything that Molly's trying to get off the ground.
Yeah.
She needs those numbers in, too. And that's why I said I feel like a lot of the goals really are connected.
Yes. Very good. So that was our second, that contemporary worship service. The third goal is to begin the work involved in remodeling the church. And so, yeah, if you want to pass that over to Mr. Atlas, the Atlas Award winner.
Do I have the 1-3-5 minute allowance that you have?
Yeah, at this point, you have like two. I'll
okay.
give you
it. Got it.
You, Russ, you take as much time as you need. You're the Atlas Award winner.
Yeah, right. Thanks.
So, Russ, how large scale is this goal? Like, what needs to be remodeled and why?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Always compliment you on that.
Thank you.
The scale of it is going to depend on what we do in the next 6 months. At this point, we have in the employment contract ready for our architect. His name is Chris Sams. He lives at Adrian, Missouri, which is up by Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And we have interviewed him. The board has interviewed him. Our properties committee has met with him. And we feel quite comfortable that he would fit what we're looking for. So that's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
From there, and that's part of his job, is determine the what we're going to look at.
Right, he'll work with us
and
meet with us to find out what our desires are for our church.
Right.
Yeah.
But some of the things that, of course, we're going to be looking at is basically renovation. We don't need to build any new buildings. We need to utilize what we have. And he has already evaluated that. He's been here twice and has already advanced some good suggestions. We'll be working on a renovation in the church building and also in the old education building. We're looking possibly at the education building as another source of income for the church, for additional offices and et cetera that may be needed in our community. And so that's basically the area we're going to be looking at.
Okay. And so with that, what we need people, how will people in our church help this process? What are we going to need them to do?
Well, without being forward, our congregation has, as they always have, you've always supported our projects, whether it was in, all the projects we've done. Mm-hmm. So as a congregation, first off, what we will be needing, we will have to have a capital campaign. And we don't know to what extent at this point, obviously, because we don't know everything we're going to be doing. But a capital campaign is something that is done by the membership of the church. And we know that as a congregation, you are in favor of that because we discussed that, four, five, 6 weeks ago when we had the roundtable discussions in the basement in the fellowship hall as the important facts that projects that need to be done. And secondly is just your support. I mean, being able to volunteer for discussion in some of the projects we need, you know better than anyone else the projects what we need to get done. We need to change the nursery location. We need a Christ center. We need a different area for the bands.
Handicap accessibility.
For the contemporary service. And so actually it's really easy for this congregation because you are a giving congregation. You always have been and we always will be.
Thank you very much. Okay, so that was our third goal is the beginning, that work of remodeling the church. Fourth, coordinate one quarterly after-church luncheon event for the purpose of fellowship. And I think Anna was going to speak to that. Anna, with the quarterly fellowship luncheons, what's kind of our hope with that goal?
Well, first, I don't know how to make this work, so hopefully it's just going. Okay. So when I thought about this, I thought about family gatherings when I was a little girl. I came from an Italian family, and I remember holidays. I would walk in, and there would be this long table of aunts and uncles. And when I was a little girl, that made me so happy because I looked at those people, and trust me, they would get on to me when I needed it. But they all loved me, and I would walk in that room, and it would be wonderful. And you know, those people are gone because they were a couple of generations ago. But last year, when we started our fellowship meals again, when we were all down there eating together, it was like that. Mm-hmm. I looked at the men and women of this congregation, and I thought, oh man, these are the aunts and uncles. These are the people that love me and I love them, and we are here to support each other and to build up each other. And so that's why we need quarterly fellowship meals, because we're a family, and that's what families do. Families gather together to be with each other and enjoy each other's company and hold each other up when it's hard, and celebrate when it's fun. That's why we need them.
And how can if you'll hold that mic a little closer to your mouth there, how can everyone help with the quarterly luncheons?
Well, first of all, come. Because when you get together as a family, it doesn't work very well if the family doesn't show up. Then, you know, we've tried a couple of different things. I kind of like the potluck format because we all like potlucks, but also it works out really well because the amount of food kind of equals the amount of people that show up, because that's part of the design of a potluck. But we might have some other formats, I just don't know. But come, if we ask you to bring something, bring something. If you can't bring something, show up anyway, because you know how it is, there's always plenty. Sometimes we need some help with some support things, like maybe setting up ahead of time. Those of you who got to come last year to either the Mozambique meal or the graduation meal, you noticed that the tables looked really nice for those two meals. They looked that way because I wasn't in charge of it. That's not one of my gifts. So if that is one of your gifts and you like to set tables and make things look pretty, that would be really helpful. We also need people to clean up afterwards. And, you know, sometimes it's a pretty simple thing. Sometimes there's a lot of dishes and stuff involved. But if you're a cleanup person, I do say that about our family gatherings when I was a little girl also. One of the best times for me was when we would get together in the kitchen afterwards and we would be washing dishes and wiping dishes and we would all talk together. And that was great fellowship, too. So if you would like to clean up, if you want to be involved in more ways, maybe you want to be helping to plan some of the quarterly things, maybe you have a good idea. Any way that you would like to be involved in these family gatherings of our church, invite people. This is another really good way to invite people to join our congregations, because you know how it is. One of the best parts about family gatherings is, who are the new people? You know, who is it that just got married or just joined the family or has a new boyfriend or a new friend or, you know, a new foster child or a new foreign exchange student? Invite anyone to, because it's low threat. You know, it just gives people a chance to meet us and talk with us in a really casual format. So invite people, because I really like to feed people. As a church, we
it's a good
like
opportunity.
To feed people. It's a
That's
good
right.
opportunity.
It's a good opportunity to eat and to eat well, because as Methodists, we like to eat well. So thank you so much, Anna, for sharing that fourth one about the quarterly events. Last goal, explore and identify the creation of one ancillary, which is a really fun word that just, I think, means kind of, you know, outside of the organization, but one ancillary program that will bring children and families into the life of our church. Carla's the children family ministry president of the board and sits on our board, and so Carla, this ancillary program, do you see that being for just for our church or for our community?
Oh, definitely for our church, to help our church to grow. But also for the community, in that as we reach out and infuse the grace that comes out of United Methodism, if you will, into the community, it cannot help but improve the sense of unity and caring that is throughout the community. Now, that sounds kind of broad, but it also brings people in who maybe have been looking for that special kind of caring that happens within United Methodist Church and within this congregation in particular.
So what would be some examples of ancillary programs that we might begin here?
One that we're thinking about right now is starting a middle school Sunday school class, which would bring in children from the middle school age and those families as well. So that would be one ancillary program. Another that we're looking at is a midweek program for children and youth, so that an after-school program that is fun and safe and inviting and, again, helps children to grow and youth to grow as Christians and as people in this community, so that they can reach out to others. We're thinking about something similar to Worship in Motion that we had before, looking at that as a real fun way of getting our bodies involved, the children's bodies involved, not mine, in acting out their love for Jesus and acting out Jesus' love for them. So that's another program that we're looking at. We are looking at four major events this year. One that will be taking place soon will be the Spring into Spring, which we will be inviting not only that this will be for the community. Then we're looking at Vacation Bible School again this year for being a long weekend event. And then we are looking at a Fall Fun Fest and a Winter Wonderland as well. So we have those in mind that will be an opportunity for people from the community to see what is offered through the United Methodist Children's and Family Ministry.
And so what kind of support will we need from the people here for this goal?
Oh, wow. Well, it's the same thing. Volunteers. One of the things that I would like to say about that is that we are going to have the volunteer training next Sunday after dinner, or after we have a little bit of a dinner. And I think it's going to be a chilly dinner because it's going to be chilly.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
So that's what we're hoping for. And that is for people who have had their Safe Sanctuary training and are now willing to be volunteers but maybe don't know what exactly is going on. It's also for people who are kind of thinking about, well, maybe I could volunteer some way, but I don't really know what it's all about. And so it's for that group as well. And I would say that volunteers that are willing to be a part of the program, they don't have to be in leadership, but a part of the programs that are going to take place, helping, again, with set up and tear down, with interacting with children. And from that perspective, we have a goal of having 6 new volunteers. And so we've been very specific about this. And now I'm going to put out the plea that I would like 2/3 of those to be men. Children, our young men, our children, our little boys need to see men who are Christians, who are walking with Christ in their lives, and how they're doing that. And they need to see that so that they can grow as well into Christian men. We need that in particular. So I'm putting out that plea.
Okay. Well, thank you for that and for helping us understand that last goal. I think what I'm going to do is just remind you that if you had a special interest in any of the goals that were just spoken of, that you can put your name on the insert, what you'd like to help with, and drop it in one of the baskets. If you have questions after this, I would ask you to, after church, if you all wouldn't mind hanging out for just a few minutes, and you can come find them and talk to them if you have some specific questions. And the sermon today would need to be a negative 5-minute sermon. And so I can't go back in time and start that. But what I would like to do is pray for us and pray for our board and our church and then move forward. So can we all bow together? Heavenly Father, thank you again for these leaders. Lord, these goals, we pray that they are Spirit-filled, that your Spirit has encouraged us to do these things for the good of this church, for the good of the community. And so, Lord, would you just be with us in these goals? Lord, there are probably people in this congregation, they've got some special gift or some significant idea or something like that. So, Lord, we pray that this created opportunity for us to get connected with those individuals in this congregation. It's a team effort, Lord. And so help us to always approach ministry and leadership in this way, that we are all a team together being disciples of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time this morning to share these goals. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.